Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It is a Saturday morning in CCO land, fishing open a weekend, Mother's Day tomorrow, and time once again to talk cars. More specifically, problems you may be having with your car, your truck, your van, and before you bring it in for service at your favorite dealer or shop, you might want to know what could be ailing. Nick Stoffel, who runs a place called Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, he is an ASC certified technician there, among other things. He's with us again today. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Denny.
I suppose you're going fishing later today.
No, I don't think that's on the agenda. Actually, the nice thing is I don't think we have a single sports activity today, so I'm actually just going to enjoy not driving all around.
That's good. Hey, grab your moment of peace when you can. Nick has helped us out for many years here on CCO, and we'll do the same today. So if you don't wait. If you have any kind of a question about cars, your driving, your problems with it, whatever the case may be, let's hear from you either by phone or by text. And I say earlier rather than later because Nick will take his leave about 7:45, so our time goes by so quickly. So call us or text us either way. Here's the number, 651-461-9226 for any kind of a car care question you may have. This past week, my daughter and son-in-law, they had some issues. They needed new brakes for their vehicle. And, of course, they always go to Lloyd's. She called me and said, they're going to be putting in electric engine mounts. I think that's what she said. I thought, I've heard of engine mounts before. But evidently there are various types of engine mounts. So what's the deal with that, Nick?
So what they've done over the years, obviously the engine is running and they're pretty well balanced, but there's still some resonating vibration. Of course, we don't want that making its way into the vehicle. So one of the main ways to combat that are the mounts, the engine mounts, motor mounts. Now, historically, traditionally, it's a piece of essentially rubber that's mounted between the frame of the vehicle and the engine itself. It's kind of the main mounting point of the engine. And that rubber will kind of help dampen or absorb a lot of that vibration. Well, they've learned that there's ways to refine that or make it better. One way is to use a hydraulic system and actually to use electronics to kind of control how that fluid flows through each side of that mount, sort of like a lower RPM versus a higher RPM where there's more vibration, more rumbling going on. The car's computer system can identify that and adjust the dampening, I guess we'll call it, to make it a little smoother ride so we don't feel that inside the vehicle. Unfortunately, we live in a climate with extreme temperatures and wear and tear. They might start to leak. When that happens, then you don't have that dampening aspect, and then you'll feel a lot more of the vibration. I don't think they're ever going to fail in the sense that anything's going to fall out of the vehicle, obviously, but it can definitely make for an uncomfortable ride.
Yeah, and I guess besides getting new brakes that really work great, the ride has really improved, so I hear. I guess it can make a big difference.
Absolutely. It's one of those a lot of the feeling, a lot of what we, in our mind, what we hear, we feel. And when the vibration of the engine is kind of resonating through the vehicle, through the dashboard, the steering wheel, the seat of the vehicle, you kind of feel that, you know. And it, I'm not saying it's not like having a bad strut on the vehicle where you're bouncing down the road, but that resonating noise can be very much of an annoyance. You get rid of that, and things do start to ride better.
Yeah, absolutely. So, bravo. If you have a car care question, I'm just looking at some texts that have just come in. 651-461-9226. Now, if you prefer to call and chat with Nick, that's great, too. Same number, 651-461-9226. Texter asks this, Nick. Thanks for the show. I have a 2024 Honda CR-V Hybrid, 15,000 miles on it. It's time to replace the cabin and engine air filters. Is it okay to use aftermarket filters instead of the higher-priced OEM filters? Also, why are some engine air filters pre-treated with oil?
Well, there are some aftermarket air filters, engine air filters, that you can use that use oil. And the reason is that they're reusable. You can clean them, re-oil them, so they will collect that dirt and debris. You can wash them and continue to reuse them without having to replace them. The only problem is that we always forget to clean them and re-oil them. So, you know, if you're a very routine type person, the details matter. You're going to follow the schedule. By all means, not a bad idea. But like most of us, sometimes we don't have the extra time in our hands, so we can't necessarily remember to do that and do it well. But yeah, aftermarket filters, you know, there's always different value points or price points. You know, I really believe that at that price point, there's going to be a quality difference. So if you're going to buy an aftermarket one that's a little bit less than the original equipment, by all means, I think it's probably going to work fine. However, if you go buy the cheapy one, you get what you pay for. And you know, a lot of times that's not the best path, obviously.
I usually, when the most detail I will get is to change my own cabin and engine air filter elements, because they're easier. Some cars are not so easy, are they? As far as maybe cabin filters too. I remember I had one car you had to take off the glove compartment and remove, you know, half the dash. But some vehicles, as far as engine air filter elements, they can be pretty labor intensive in some cases.
You know, we've always said that they design vehicles to be assembled, not repaired. Yeah. Sometimes that includes filters in the sense that, yeah, it used to be there might be a couple clips. You can have access to the air filter, easily replaced. But now there's a lot of plastic aesthetics you have to remove, a lot of air duct you might have to remove. So there can be a bit of work. And, you know, one thing I'll say for sure is if you're not comfortable and confident in doing that, the last thing you want to do is break one of these pieces of plastic, because they can be very costly. And I know those that have know that. So, you know, whether it's the air filter or the cabin filter, if you don't have the know-how, and, you know, watch some videos online, you can get a feel for it. If you feel confident and comfortable, by all means, you should try to do it. I love the fact that people are willing to do some of the maintenance on their vehicles. However, if you get in there and it's not as you thought it was, just stop and ask for help. Don't break something, because it becomes a lot more costly.
Isn't that true? All right, 651-461-9226. I was thinking with the forecast, hot weather coming along here beginning tomorrow on Mother's Day. I'm thinking, I've tried the air in my car, which is an older car. I've never had, I don't think, the coolant changed in this vehicle of mine. How often should that be done? I know it varies from maintenance schedule to what manufacturer says. I think mine says every 30,000 miles or so.
No, now there's two things. This, were, you know, this is a good question, because sometimes people get them mixed up. Coolant, you know, engine coolant, antifreeze, is designed to keep the engine at an operating temperature, you know, right around 200 degrees, depending on the vehicle, give or take. So it's designed to kind of lubricate, keep the engine at optimal temperature. It has thermostats, water pumps, radiators, cooling fans to kind of manage that system. Now, refrigerant is what gives us our air conditioning. That's a sealed system. That's never to be changed. Unfortunately, you know, it's kind of like having a refrigerator in your vehicle. However, your refrigerator at home is stationary in your kitchen, where this system is inside of a moving vehicle that sees all the extremes of the climates, the dirt, the road, the salt, you name it. And sometimes leaks develop. When we have a leak in the refrigerant in the air conditioning system, we need to identify that. One way of doing that is we'll add dye to a system, operate the system, try to use a UV light or black light to try to pinpoint the source of that leak. Once we know the leak is, then we can, you know, kind of come up with a plan to repair it. I will tell you that's been a very, very popular service this week. We've had a lot of people looking at the forecast and everybody tried that air conditioning. Or we told them about it in the fall and they said, it's the fall. I don't care. I'll make it through the winter. Now they had that aha moment and said, we better get in. So if you're one of those folks, get on somebody's schedule early because I promise you, when we have 90 degrees in May, it gets very difficult to get air conditioning work done. So get on somebody's schedule sooner than later.
Now, Nick, as far as the coolant goes, the antifreeze, if that is not changed, what kind of damage, if any, can it cause various components of the vehicle?
Well, the engine systems have gotten a lot better. And it used to be 30,000 miles, Denny. Honestly, most vehicles, it's probably more near 100,000 miles.
All right.
And part of the reason is that the internals are better. We don't have as much combustion gases leaking, meaning exhaust leaking into that coolant, which naturally happens because it's not a perfectly sealed item. But when we get that, it becomes very corrosive. The coolant discolors. It loses its protection, temperature protection, and protecting of all the different types of materials that it's going through. Keep in mind there's aluminum, there's steel, there's plastic. And as this is circulating at a 200 degrees or at a 30-degree morning, that coolant can become scaly and attach itself to things. And when that happens, we lose the ability to cool or keep the temperature at the right temperature or at the right operating temperature, and we start to see other problems. So if it's been a long time, you got 100,000-plus miles on your vehicle, next time you're for service, ask that shop, that dealership, whomever, am I due to have the service done? They can look at the coolant, they can test the coolant, and make a recommendation.
Yeah, very good. All right, Nick, hang on. Let's invite our listeners to join in on the conversation. If you have, you don't have to be a motorhead, as we say, or a gearhead. If you drive and are having problems with your vehicle, call us or text us. 651-461-9226. Nick will be with us till just about 7:45 this morning, just ahead of Ted Farrell's Wine Chat. So let's hear from you here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. We are here thanks to folks like Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive every Saturday in the right after the 7 o'clock news break, answering any kind of a car care question you may have on your mind. Today, every Saturday, 651-461-9226 for your question. Nick will give you a little diagnosis over the air of what could be wrong with your vehicle. Here is another text, Nick. But before we get to that, I was thinking my family knows where to go in with car repair issues, right to Lloyd's. And a lot of folks do that, even folks that are live out of town. But folks that may be unfamiliar with Lloyd's, where are you guys located if they need some help?
Absolutely. So first off, if you have a question, need some advice before you take your car in, you can always ask us. We'll help. 651-228-1316. And if you happen to be on Grand Avenue in St. Paul, which I picked up dinner last night and everybody was out on it, there was no parking, and which is a good thing, and the restaurants looked full, so that's a good feeling. But we're at 982 Grand Avenue, which is on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. And then finally, if you need more information, you can always see our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
Yes, indeed, Nick. We'll get to that information before Nick leaves us, which is about 7:45 this morning. So call us or text us, 651-461-9226. Here's that text I was leading up to. Listener says, one of our headlights periodically will not light up. What would cause this? And thanks for the great program. Well, you're welcome. Thanks for listening. And what do you think about that headlight issue?
My first simplest guess is going to be the bulb itself. You know, if that filament has gotten bad or loose, making contact, not making contact, it may or may not work. We'll see that at home even sometimes. You'll have a light bulb in your ceiling or a fixture. It's not working. You can kind of tap it. It comes back on. So that's my first guess. Not a fuse because we know it works sometimes, so it does have power. But the connection, maybe we got a poor connection there at the contact there. Maybe there's a bad ground. So I think the easiest or first thing to check is a bulb. After that, we're probably going to look a little deeper into the wiring diagram to look for different sources of power and ground that might be having a poor connection there.
And you and I have talked about this, Nick, a number of times, and listeners who have called in or texted in about changing headlights, trying to do it yourself. Boy, in some cases, you can't unless you really have all the equipment necessary. It ain't like the old days, right? Some of it is pretty expensive.
Very much so, and it's funny, we were talking about in the old days with those big box bulbs where they had those little tiny set screws that we had to try to remove without stripping. And we got very good at that at a young age because you didn't want to have to drill out or try to go ask for help. So you figured out very quickly how to unscrew those little tiny screws to get those bulbs out. But you're right, you know, as they changed. And another important point is on those halogen bulbs, if you are replacing your own, be careful not to touch the glass. You get the oil from your fingers on that glass, those bulbs run at a very high temp, it'll cause the bulb to fail. So be very careful of that. But even that being said, there are some cars, and believe it or not, that you have to remove the bumper to gain access to replace the bulb. And it seems ridiculous, and you know, I'm sure it wasn't intentional when they designed them, but you know, like I said earlier, cars are, you know, we always joke cars are designed to be assembled, not repaired, and you know, sometimes a headlight bulb is just one of those situations.
Oh, yeah. I remember I had to do the same thing to my wife's SUV. She hit one of those big sand-filled highway things and knocked out a headlight. I had no idea you had to remove the front end of bumper. Yeah. All right. Let's see. Here's another one. Good morning. I have a 2019 Hyundai Santa Fe with the gas shut-off system when you're at a stoplight. I thought I was able to turn it off, but I'm realizing it's lit up yellow when I'm at the light. Now, is this an emergency thing to fix? And can a regular mechanic place fix this, or will I have to go to a Hyundai dealership? What's the deal about this yellow light they're talking about?
It must be a fault in the system. Options could be the battery. If I see the battery voltage is getting low, it's not going to start stop because it might not have enough battery capacity to restart it. Maybe you're low on fuel. But we've talked about the start-stop technology in the past. You know, if you're a little bit older, it can be annoying. I'm one of those people where I don't really like it. However, it's a really good thing because, you know, they've learned that most of the emissions emitted from vehicles as they idle, so at those stoplights when all the cars are lined up, it's just a real bad environment there. By allowing that vehicle to shut off, we have clean air. And then when we let our foot up off the brake and apply it to the gas, the vehicle restarts and down the road we go. Now, there might be some more wear and tear on the starter, which people will ask. It is more stress on the battery, but I think the trade-off is probably worth it. So I would tell that person to get the vehicle in. It doesn't have to be a dealership. Most of your local shops can help you with that. I think they're going to learn that maybe there's something wrong with the battery electrical system that's causing the system to identify, I need to protect myself, not get stranded. So let's not allow that to operate properly.
Very good. Let's grab a phone call this morning. Nick, Steve is calling in from one of my favorite towns, Owatonna, Minnesota. Hi, Steve.
Hey, good morning, guys. I have a question here that I've got for the expert. I have a 2018 Ford F-150. It has a 5-liter motor in it. And I have, I think, what is referred to as a cam sensor that is extra loud. It taps a lot the motor taps a lot at idle speed. I've had it in a time or two, hoping that it would be covered under warranty, and they get it back to me and they say it is within specs and not to worry about it. Is there any damage that's happening as that noise is taking place at idle?
Steve, I know we've been having trouble with your phone signal, but I know you're asking about a crank sensor. Let's find out what the crank sensor is, and the dealership said it was within specs. And what is a crank sensor? What does it do, Nick?
I think maybe he was talking more likely a camshaft sensor. Uh-huh. And on newer vehicles, there'll be oftentimes multiple camshaft sensors. And I think he's having a bit of a noise there, which is a little bit concerning. Because all the cam sensor does is it identifies the position of the camshafts, as does the crankshaft for the crank. So, you know, the computer doesn't have any eyes, literally. It has sensors that tells it what's going on. Those sensors, the camshaft, crankshaft sensors, tell the position of the engine. So the computer system knows how to do the fuel injection, spark, ignition. So we have a vehicle that's running, adjusting timing. Without those sensors working properly, the vehicle is not going to run at all or run very poorly. So I'm not sure how that coincides with the noise it might be having, unfortunately.
All right. Steve, I hope that answered your question. I hope we got it right. If not, call us back. 56 degrees now in the Twin Cities. Let's have a look at that forecast. I'll tell you what, Nick, we'll take this break. Let's invite our listeners to give us a call. Send a text, any kind of a car care question for Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive at 651-461-9226. Nick will be with us for about another 10, 12 minutes. So call us or text us with your question here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. We are here every Saturday right after the 7 o'clock news break answering any kind of a car care question you might have. Is ASC certified technician Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Yeah, Nick, that's one of the pluses. Not only, I'm sure, working there, but folks dropping off their vehicle for repair. Lots of places to coffee, to eat, to walk. What I like about it, I've said it before, is There are shops there, but it certainly still has that residential feel, doesn't it?
Oh, no, absolutely. And the homes are just beautiful. You know, you see that architecture, and they're all a little bit different, and that, you know, the details. So it's fun just to walk around, especially, you know, if it's a beautiful warm day and the sun's out and the birds are chirping. And, you know, a lot of the people in the area have beautiful gardens in their yards. So it's a nice place to be, I assure you that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, here's our phone number. It's also our text number, 651-461-9226. We have a few more minutes for the show. Here's one that just came in, a text. What is the latest standard measurement for tire replacement? It used to be measured with a penny. I think I've seen it with a quarter as far as a tread depth. What do you guys do? You have a special little needle thing that you use.
We do, and, you know, typically tires are measured in 32nds of an inch. And on the tire itself, there's actually a little wear bar that goes cross-sectional across the tread there. So as the tire wears, you know, if you dig your finger between the tread, you'll see a little bump there. Once it gets to that bump, which is about 3/32, that's your warning. We need to get these things replaced. Now, we always think, oh, you know, I'll get them before winter, which is obviously good if we're going to have snow. But also in a heavy rain, don't forget that those tires help sweep the water away to keep it from hydroplaning. And I promise you, hydroplaning is, if not scarier than getting stuck in the snow. You know, if you've ever done that, you'll know it kind of makes you take a deep breath and hold on. Don't overreact. But, yeah, the tires definitely have a good role in the summer months, too, you know, for traction and in driving in the rain. So don't disregard that. New tires are typically around 10 to 11 32nds of an inch. And the life of a tire can vary depending on the style, the design, the type of vehicle they're on. You know, we'll see them, unfortunately, wear out as early as 20, 30,000 miles. At some vehicles, you get 70, 80,000 miles. So it really depends on the type of vehicle and the type of tire, and it can be anywhere in between. So,
and there are, I remember having a used vehicle that had, I guess you'd call them summer kind of tires, that the least bit of snow or ice, forget about it.
Yeah, a lot of those performance tires and some vehicles on the road today will be equipped with such a thing. And then, as you know, we'll talk here in 6 months about winter tires and getting a second set of wheels. And, you know, depending on your vehicle, it's not for everyone. You know, some people really enjoy the ride of their vehicle. They want to feel the road beneath them. Some people just want to get from point A to point B. So depending on who you are and what you are, there's a lot of varieties and a lot of options out there.
But again, I presume, and I've used a certain brand of tire over the years, that you still get what you pay for usually, right, as far as tires are concerned.
You do, absolutely. And, you know, one thing we hear from people that can be frustrating is, you know, as the aesthetics have become more important in vehicles, we'll see these lower profile tires, meaning that the rubber part's skinnier. Well, when they do that, they need to make that sidewall stiffer, which makes it a higher rated tire, which doesn't mean you necessarily need that because you're not going that fast or handling around the corners like that. But because of the really shallow sidewall, it needs to be stiffer. Oftentimes, those tires are the ones that cost a lot. So you might have a simple vehicle, but because it's equipped with such a tire and such a size, we don't have very many options, and unfortunately, it can be very costly to replace.
I was talking to somebody a couple of weeks ago about the age of tires, and he was saying that his vehicle, actually, is his wife's vehicle, who's hardly ever driven. He says, I've never had a flat, and the vehicle itself is, I think he said it's 10 or 12 years old. But that even if you don't drive it, the rubber can deteriorate or get stiffer. Something happens to tires, doesn't it?
Absolutely. We'll start to see them actually dry up and crack. which can be also very dangerous because it can create a failure. You know, if your tires are approaching that 10 years in age, they are probably due to be replaced. And people always ask, you know, we always get kind of hung up on like the miles. How many miles before I change something or do something, which is important, but that's just one half of the puzzle. You know, if you haven't driven your vehicle much, you know, and you still change your oil every year? Absolutely. You know, with the changes in temperatures and the condensation that oil will absorb, same thing with your tires. Your tires are 10 years old, and there's only, you know, 20, 30,000 miles on them because you don't drive it a lot. But if you look at that rubber, you'll start to see some cracking in between there, and that can be dangerous and cause a failure. So, you know, the miles are very important, but don't forget the months or the years because it's kind of a balance of the two, to be honest.
Yeah. Texter says, I think we have time. Oh, yeah, for one more text. Tis the season for folks washing their own vehicles, and Texter says, I hear you guys talking about making sure the underbody is washed on your car. I want to, Texter says, wash my engine. Can I do that? And if so, can you give me specifics on how to do that?
We do it every day. But we also do it every day so we know where and what not to do. Once again, you can look online. You have to be careful with electronics, the air intake. You don't want water getting into the combustion part of the engine. We're taking a garden hose and rinsing things down. We're not taking a pressure washer and trying to remove anything. So I don't have a problem with somebody that does a little research. You know, we're essentially taking the garden hose and, you know, not a hard spray, but we're kind of rinsing all the stuff down. Oftentimes we'll use a cleaner, an agent to remove the oil and grease that we're trying to clean. But the water is more of the rinsing purposes. It's not really the pressure that's doing the cleaning. So just be very careful there. If it's a lot of dust that you're trying to remove, mist it down, that's just fine. You know, take a towel, wipe down all the hard spots. But very careful with electronics and very careful with any kind of air intake into the engine because you don't want water inside the engine.
Text, we have time for one more text. Texter just sent this. 2016 Honda Pilot. The transmission seems to slip when starting out driving. What do you think causes this?
Well, you know, if it is in fact slipping, we need to look at the fluid condition, the fluid level, try to determine what's going on. If it is something related to fluid condition or level, let's get that handled before you create a permanent problem with that transmission. And that's what, you know, a really important point is, if you're noticing something where your car's not shifting very well, the sooner you get it in there, the more likely you're to save yourself from some permanent damage. So I would tell this texter to get it in this next week if you can. Have them drive it, experience that problem, check the fluid condition, look for codes, and give them some advice based on that.
And I got to ask you, how do you check the fluid?
Well, that's tricky. Some have a dipstick. Some you need to actually use a scan tool. And there's also different ways that you can insert. It's a procedure. There's a process that you can actually, when you pull the fill and drain plugs, you can actually add a little bit and see when it cascades back down. It's a process for sure, but if it is low, which you can look for a leak, if there's a leak, then we know it could be low, and then we have to follow that procedure.
Very good. Well, our procedure is to thank you for your help. Let's do this again next week, but in the meantime, tell us how we can get you in touch with Lloyd's.
Yes, sir. As always, if you have a question, please call 651-228-1316. And if you're out for a stroll, get in a bite to eat or a cup of coffee, stop and say hi. We're at 982 Grand in St. Paul. That's on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. And then finally, you can find all our information on LloydsAutomotive.net.
Good deal, Nick. Thank you. Don't forget Mom tomorrow, and let's talk next week.
Sounds like a date. Thanks, Danny.
Thank you. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. A new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.